This is Information 70, a weekly public affairs presentation of WFAH Radio. Information 70, with topics ranging from discussion of community improvement programs and community problems to a look at the programs of area groups and organizations and discussion of interesting topics with area people. And now, today's Information 70.
For Information 70,
and our guest today is Clarence Steffi, editor of the Alliance Review. And Clarence has celebrated 50 years in the newspaper business on May 29th, and that's a long time to be in anything, any kind of a business. And of course, Clarence, you're known by many people in the community, and active in so many areas, in government, in your church, in the library, and just all facets of community service. And we thought we'd get you in here today to chat a little bit about that 50 years in the newspaper business, and of course being in that business for so long, disseminating news and information about the community of Alliance, you know a lot about the history of the city, and we might even get into that area too. First of all, let's find out a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up?
I was born, Dick, up near Congress Lake. As a matter of fact, about 2.5 miles west of New Baltimore. That road happens to be the road that divides Stark and Portage counties, and I was born in a house on the north side of the road, which put me in Randolph Township, Portage County. Mm-hmm. But of course, our mailing address was Hartville, so Hartville would be my birthplace.
Mm-hmm. And you moved into the Canton area as a boy?
Yes, the family moved when I was only 6 years old. I started to school in a one-room building, the Brumbaugh School, which happened to bear the name of my mother's family. And then we went to Canton and subsequently spent a little time in Akron and Ravenna, but most of my early days were spent in Canton.
Mm-hmm. When did you decide that journalism and newspaper reporting would be your avocation?
Well, the inspiration came from an eighth grade teacher named Alice Green at Gibbs School in Canton. The Canton Daily News, which was the other newspaper in Canton at that time, was running at that particular time in my life a contest in essay writing. And Miss Green inspired me to get into it, and I won some prizes. And from there on, she kept patting me on the shoulder and directing me that way. And then I went to Lehman High School, which was then a junior high school, for my freshman year, and won some more awards. And just gradually, I began to think of journalism. And I also had a start in the printing industry, which is allied with newspapering. And the combination of the two, plus the fact that when I was a senior at Canton McKinley, I was editor of the monthly magazine, and things just seemed to naturally flow in that direction, so I wound up a newspaper man.
Hmm. What was your first job in the newspaper? Where was that at, in Canton?
At the Canton Daily News. It was May 27th, 1925, to be specific, that I ventured to the Canton Daily News to meet with Herb Miner, who was the managing editor, and a man I didn't know. I told him that I wanted to learn the business, and he said, well, just today, the business manager told me that I could put on a young fellow this summer in the editorial department. And I got the job and started on May 29th, 1925. And never since have I earned my livelihood in any other way.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the Alliance Review would be classified as a small newspaper. I don't know that the Canton Daily News would be a small, probably a medium-sized newspaper, right? Do you have any reasons for staying with the small newspaper, or did you ever have thoughts of maybe working for the New York Times or something like that?
Strangely enough, Dick, I never had thoughts of working for the New York Times or a metropolitan paper. As a matter of fact, I had a couple of opportunities to move to larger papers, and I often repeat this story. I had one specific offer, and I went to Mr. Siddle, who was general manager of the Review at the time, and told him about it, and he was a very understanding person, and he said to me, well, you have to make up your mind whether you want to be a big frog in a small puddle or a little frog in a big puddle. And my mind was made up. I stayed with the Review, and I'm very grateful for that decision.
What would be your philosophy as far as the newspaper business is concerned?
You mean it's the size of papers? And
Just general philosophy of the newspaper's place in society.
Well, the newspapers had a specific place in society since the founding of this country. And the provision in the Bill of Rights for freedom of the press means what it says. And the American people have benefited as a result, as might be compared with the situation in many countries around the world. But of course, the place of the newspaper in any community, this size or any other size, has changed over the years. These things happen with progress. And there have been so many marks of progress in the production of the newspaper that the newspapers have gone right along with the general improvement in conditions and situations. Of course, I believe in newspapers, perhaps more now than I did when I started, because I think I have a better understanding of their place. I do have very specific opinions as to the place of so-called small papers and so-called large papers. I do not think that the large papers are able to serve their communities like a small paper can, because we live close to our people and we have a specific interest in our people, and it is more personalized, as I'm sure you realize, just as in your medium. And so I've always loved newspapers, and believe me, I still do.
As you look back over the years, you mentioned earlier, before we started our program, that there wasn't a specific big story, but is there a certain era in your work at the Alliance Review that you remember?
I think there's one era that I shall always remember, and that is the Depression era. I was covering the City Hall at that time, and I was doing probably all the stories that ran in the Review with reference to the Depression. Excuse me. And while that was not a period in life to relish, it nevertheless was a specific era in the history of this community and the whole nation. And I think I shall always prize the fact that it was my privilege. Somebody had to do it. And it turned out to be my privilege in Alliance to record the events and happenings of the Depression era, which in Alliance was marked by such things as the issuance of scrip, money, you know, and austerity programs. The police and fire departments were stripped to the very bone, and all departments were operating on a very slim budget in those days, certainly nothing compared to the budgets that we have today. It was a very trying era, and yet, as I look back upon it, the people of Alliance tackled it in a courageous way. They handled it in a very intelligent way. We had civic and community leadership that was very effective. I shall, in all my experience with various mayors and administrators of the city government, I shall always cherish the memory of Guy Allett, who came into the Morale in 1933 and served two terms when the Depression was at its height. And it was in that period that script was issued. And I suppose that it was in that period that the relief lines were the longest. I think he did a masterful job, and I would rate Mayor Allett as one of the best that we ever had, even though he was blind.
He, as I recall, ran a hardware store, didn't he? Not?
Right he did, on, the, right Allett, the Allett Hardware, which of course was his brother-in-law, Blaine Bowman, assisted him, and Blaine eventually took over the hardware and established his own business.
We mentioned newspaper. Back in that day, there wasn't any radio and any TV to speak of. Was there much impact on the newspaper business when radio came about and then followed close behind by TV?
Oh, certainly there was some impact. And very frankly, we in the newspaper business, with the printed word, were scared, particularly from a revenue standpoint. And we in the news department had our ears up too. But we have found that we're able to live together, that radio, TV, and newspapers, especially newspapers in a community this size, live in an entirely different life atmosphere than do any of the electronics. We both have a purpose, and we both serve a purpose, and I think you know that our feelings are pretty good today.
Yeah, we have no problems at all. And Let's talk a little bit about the newspaper business when you first started here at the Alliance Review. It was located in the same building the old building next door to the new one, right?
That's right.
What can you tell us about that?
Well, in 1930, when I joined the Review building was really not an old one because it had been built at the turn of the century, so you see it couldn't have been more than 30 years old. And we were modern in all necessary respects. By the time I came to the Review, we had the teletypes for the transmitting of Associated Press news, and of course the linotype was long by that time an essential part of the industry. And we had a circulation department that was alert and on its toes, even as it is today, and we had a very effective advertising department and a good editorial department even then.
Mm-hmm. Who was the editor of the Review when you came?
Well, Neil Geyer was the editor of the Review, but Paul Reed really ran the department as the city editor.
Mm-hmm. Did you start as a City Hall reporter?
I started as City Hall reporter, which was the number one reportorial job and mm-hmm. the most important one, I dare say, in that particular period. I should say the most essential. But I moved on from there. In 1942, I took over the editorial department when Paul Reed went to the service.
Mm-hmm. Things have changed a little bit in the newspaper business from the time you started to now, especially with the production end of things.
Oh, tremendously. Of course, now we are what is known as an offset newspaper.
No linotypes.
No linotypes. The linotypes have gone to the junkyard, and we're modern in every respect.
It makes a big difference in the appearance of the newspaper, and I know everybody's
really
pleased with the new look of the Alliance Review in the last two or three years, and especially with the pictures.
That's
really
right.
Makes a difference.
That's right. Well, now, pictures always were used, of course, but in my earliest days in the newspaper business, either here or in Canton or in Mount Vernon, the pictures were as of nothing compared to today, and we didn't run as many local pictures. We depended upon the mats which came in, and it was from those mats that the plates were made, and then the pictures reproduced in the newspaper. Well, today, local pictures are predominant.
Mm-hmm. Newspaper plays a pretty important part, too, in recording history. Unlike the electronic media, once we say it, it's usually gone. Sometimes there are a few things we wish weren't on tape recorders out there and we're gone, but newspaper is there forever and recorded.
That's right. I have with me a quotation from Walter Cronkite in that respect, and I would like to read it.
We'll accept that since he's in our business. It must be all right, whatever it is he said. Huh?
He was asked the question, what do you think is the future of the printed word? And he replied, it's got to be good. Television and audiovisual communications generally have tremendous impact, and they haven't even begun to scratch the surface of the use of them for education. But it is an evanescent form. It's here at the moment that you receive it, and then it's gone. You've got to have the printed page to study, and to go back and review, to absorb more deeply than you possibly can do audiovisually. So I think that answers the question.
Mm-hmm.
It ties in with your comments, too, about the recorded history. We do figure that we record history, and with the editorial work that I'm doing now, I shall rely upon our films. You see, all of the reviews are on film today, and while we wish sometimes that we could turn back to one of those old papers in its real form, yeah, we have the record of Alliance going back to newspapers 100 years ago.
Hmm. Now, these are available to the public at the Rodman Library.
That's right.
So if you want a newspaper from 1893, you can go back and via microfilm.
That's right. They get a copy of our films. But from the standpoint of research and that sort of thing, it's more advantageous to use the microfilm at the library than at the Review, although that can be done, too.
Mm-hmm. So it's available either.
That's right.
Either location, and I know the machine at the library. In fact, I've used it a couple of times, just to do some research, to go back about 10 years and do some research. And if you see an article in there that you want a copy of, you can use the photostatic process that's right there in the film, and take a picture of the microfilm, and you can take the copy home with you to
study.
Yeah, and that's really a great feature. Let's talk a little bit about Alliance and how it's changed since you've arrived in 1930s. This was a big railroad town, was it not?
That's right. Well, first in that respect, I would like to make this comment, and that is that the attitude in Alliance has changed considerably over the last 50 years. When I came here as a student at Mount Union College and then started covering Alliance, I found a very prevalent what I would call a mass inferiority complex. People were inclined to run down their community. Some people still do, but not like they used to. It seemed to be epidemic-like in those days. Excuse me. And I think there were a couple reasons for it. One was that early in the 1920s, the Pennsylvania Roundhouse was moved from Alliance to Canton, and many people felt that the Roundhouse had been forced out by interests in the community, which of course was not true. The railroad actually had made plans many years prior to the moving time to concentrate on Canton, and that's understandable because of the industry. What an irony it is that today the Roundhouse doesn't amount to much as far as Canton's concerned or as far as the railroad's concerned. That's not to say it's not needed. It is, but it certainly isn't the going concern that it was in that time.
It was a very important facility.
That's
at that
right.
Time,
right. So people were depressed about that. There was also a tendency in the community to criticize Mount Union College. The story was that the Memorial Hall, which was new then, had been promised to the community as a meeting place. I wasn't here then, so I can't say one way or the other as to what actually happened. But I'm sure it was a misconception or misinterpretation. And nevertheless, the people were saddled with this kind of an attitude. So generally, the attitude was rather on the pessimistic side. However, I'm gratified that following the Depression and the prosperity that we have had generally over the country, and the Alliance in particular, starting with the 1940s and on through, the attitude has changed. And we have so many new facilities here. We have so many things that I like to brag about so far as Alliance is concerned. And, of course, number one, I suppose, would be the new high school, which is probably unmatched any place in Ohio, and there are few to match it in the nation. And another facility which is dear to my heart is the library. It was my privilege to serve for 2 years as president of the Ohio Library Trustees Association, and I saw a lot of libraries over Ohio, and I can assure you that there isn't any community this size in Ohio and few in the nation that have a library with the greater service, facilities for service, than we have in Alliance. It's a thing to be treasured. And of course, we have this modern YMCA now, and so many other things that would take a lot of time to mention. But we have these things which I hope have changed the attitude of the people of Alliance. I love Alliance, and I'm not a native. I used to say that...
Well, I think you are after 50 years.
I used to say that Alliance's worst enemies were its natives, people who hadn't had an opportunity to see what other communities have. And the kind of thing that we encountered in Alliance in those days is typical of a home community. You go to any town and you'll find that the natives are more apt to run down the hometown than are the newcomers.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Mount Union College is a fantastic resource.
I don't think that the people of Alliance really appreciate what that has meant to the community culturally and otherwise. I realize that we have so many colleges and universities now that draw people from Alliance as well as Mount Union College. But there was a day when Canton and Maslin and Starr County would have given anything to get Mount Union College. Of course, they now have their own institutions, Canton does in particular.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about this railroading. Of course, railroading isn't the big business that it was, as you mentioned. The Roundhouse really it wouldn't be very significant in this day and age, but back in its day, it was significant. Did the railroad have a big part to play, do you think, in the development of Alliance?
Without any question. That's where we get the name of the city, Alliance. It's the crossing of the railroads north and south and east and west. And, of course, this was a railroad center. It was recognized as such. And Alliance benefited from that. There isn't any question. I think it would have been wonderful to have kept the Roundhouse, but I believe that move was inevitable at the time.
It'd be nice to even have the old Sauerbeck House today.
Yeah, that's right. And from a personal standpoint, I wish we still had flourishing railroads, because I always liked railroads.
I can remember as a kid when diesels first became popular, why, we used to go and sit at the crossing. We had the train schedule, and we knew at 9:12 on Saturday night the train was coming through, probably pulled by a diesel, and we went up to see the diesel engine go by. And well, that doesn't happen today.
My memories go back to the earliest, not the earliest, but the railroad trains in the early part of this century, and it was a privilege to ride the train as a boy from Hartville to Canton.
Right. We used to go over to Canton shopping and ride the train, mm-hmm. I recall. Sure. Today you wouldn't think of that at all.
Well, your dad was a railroader.
My dad was a railroader, right. And, of course, the old Sauerbeck House, which I can remember that, too, very vaguely, but that was a pretty popular spot along the tracks between New York and Chicago to have dinner, wasn't it?
Well, I think it was in the earliest days, but by the time I came to Alliance in 1926, it was known as the Chase House, and the Sauerbeck period was gone.
A lot of famous people stopped there, I think.
So I understand,
lunch,
according
right?
to history and according to the newspaper, and I believe in.
What other area of Alliance would you like to talk about? You've been active as clerk of city council. Has city government changed a lot over the last few years?
City government has changed just like every other phase of life. Yes, as I look back upon my so-called career, I treasure most my association with city council. I covered city council meetings for those many years. And it's been my privilege to serve now. This is my 30th year as clerk of council.
How did that all start?
A task that I took on thinking it would be just temporary. You mean my clerkship?
Mm-hmm.
It's a rather interesting story. Albert Ferrascio, who was a Democrat, wanted me to become clerk of council because he said, you're here anyway, and he thought I could do the job. And eventually, in 1946, I accepted the role, thinking it would be just a temporary thing, but here it is, 30 years. And it, next to my newspapering, of course, has been, I suppose, dearest to my heart so far as the city activities are concerned, although I never discount the library either. But city council has been a very fascinating thing to me. I've always liked government. The seed for that was planted by maternal grandfather, whose name was Samuel Brumbaugh, and he was always a local politician up around Hartville and Randolph, and so I got my interest there very naturally. So I've watched city councils over the years. Of course, legislation is similar in many respects. There are always financial problems and that sort of thing. But there's much more legislation handled today than was the case 20, 30, 40 years ago. Much more. And, of course, the variety of legislation is different. Who ever heard of urban renewal in those days, for example? And it's very fascinating. I'd like to mention, since we're talking about city council, that I have a deep respect for all of the men and women. We've had a couple, you know, who have served in council, because without exception, they've been dedicated people. They've tried to do, in my opinion, what was best for the city of Alliance. And in my career, there have been only four regularly elected city council presidents. T. Elmer Trott, who was a professor at Mount Union, was president when I started. He was followed briefly by Harry Morrison, who had been a councilman and who was appointed after Mr. Trott's death to serve an unexpired term. Then he was followed by Dr. Morgan, who was president of council for 27 and a half years. You see, he served those last 6 months as mayor. And then he was followed by Dick Oglein, and now by Dr. Kelleher. And they've all been very astute men, men who were conscientious and dedicated to their position. And we've had some very excellent councilmen. If I were permitted, I would like to say this, that city council meetings are open. People have the privilege of attending any council meeting. I'm often asked, can anyone attend? Yes, indeed. That's provided by state law. I wish more people attended council meetings in this city and elsewhere. People have a tendency to sit back and wait until council does something and then pounce upon the legislators for having enacted something. A very typical thing is the topics program, about which there is a lot of complaint. And yet, if people were to refer back to the columns of the review and to the record here at the radio station, they would find out that they were told that this topics program was coming up for discussion and consideration. They had their opportunity. They didn't take advantage of inquiring about it. And now they're sometimes complaining. Yet, no doubt in the long run, they'll find that in as a whole, topics program will probably be a blessing for the community. There are instances, of course, that will be corrected. And I'm sure that the city will find out that in due time, the mayor will exercise the privilege of asking for a survey after 1 year, which is part of the contract. Mm-hmm. And that was agreed upon 4 years ago under the previous administration.
So it just didn't happen last
year.
No,
it didn't happen overnight.
It wasn't a quick thing. In fact, most of these things, by the time the public finds out about them or realizes or it hits them between the eyes,
yeah.
I don't know where some people have been. So once in a while, I wonder, when we get calls, and I'm sure you get them at the review, about this new such-and-such, and gee,
yeah.
We've been talking about it for 2 years.
Well, that's the way we live.
Right. Can you remember any real fiery moments in city council, a real hot, explosive moments?
Well, I hadn't given any thought to that, but I suppose since you used the word fiery, the most fiery time would have been when Albert Ferrascio was in council, and he will live in council history because there was a term or two, maybe more than one term, when he was the lone Democrat in council, and believe me, he spoke for his party, and
he had
kept
to make
the thing alive,
heard,
and he, in my humble opinion, always represented his people quite well. He was their spokesman, and he was he had a fiery attitude too, but he kept neatly. Some people liked that, some didn't.
It was, as I recall, I can recall some of those days, and he did speak very loudly, being the only one there. He made sure that the other side was heard.
He wrote his name in Alliance Council history.
He sure did. Clarence, we thank you very much for being with us. Our time is up, but we've really enjoyed the past 30 minutes reminiscing a little bit about the Alliance Review and the newspaper business with you, and, of course, the city of Alliance, which is dear to all our hearts, I think.
It is to mine.
We thank you very much for being with us, and we hope you have another 25 or 50 years at the Alliance Review.
One of the men at the review said, well, you started on your second 50. What are you going to do for an encore? I haven't answered that one.
We'll be watching in the newspaper to find out.
Thank you.
Our guest today, Clarence Steffi, editor of the Alliance Review. This is Dick Elliott for Information 70. Listen every week at this time for Information 70, a public affairs presentation of WFAH Radio. If you have suggestions of topics you'd like to hear discussed on Information 70, notify WFAH Radio.